This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. We're with you live at the 35th Biennial Colorado AFL-CIO COPE Convention. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and Denver Newspaper Guild, Local 37074. Woo! Our conversation today is with Hillary Glasgow, the head of Colorado Winds, Local 1876, the State Employees Union. Welcome, Hillary.
Hello. Oh, I didn't know this was on. Okay. Hi. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Okay, good. Are we getting good audio on Hillary? Thumbs up on the recording? Okay, sorry. I'm making sure. Don't worry. I'm the one who edits these, so I get to cut all this out or leave it in for color. We'll see. All right. We're going to start off with the classic Terry Gross from NPR's Fresh Air question. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, okay. I didn't prepare for this. I don't know anything about myself. okay, about myself. I was born in Raton, New Mexico. We came up to Trinidad when I was two, moved to Pueblo when I was four, and I never left. So I have been in Pueblo most of my entire life, but you can't say that you're native here unless you're actually native to Pueblo because people get really mad about it. That's why I have to qualify what's important here.
I feel the same way. I was born in Texas, but I feel there's nothing more Colorado than being born in Texas.
It's true.
Came here when I was about 8 months old. Hey, San Angelo. So you mentioned you're from Pueblo. This is where our convention is right now. What do you like most about your hometown of Pueblo?
That would be really hard to pick. I have a love for Pueblo that is very deep and abiding. I think what I love best about Pueblo is that we are blue-collar, working class, and we know that. And I like that about us. We don't put on airs. We aren't bougie. We don't try to be fancy. We know who we are, and we're good with that. And I appreciate that. I appreciate a town that's comfortable in its own skin.
I really appreciate that, too. I'm going to put you on the spot, though. Best slopper, no qualifications, only one. You can't, like, say, oh, and this one's good for this reason. Best slopper.
Coors.
Coors. All right, I'm going to disagree. It's Sunset is the best slopper. For folks listening right now, the slopper is a local delicacy of the Pueblo area. All right, so you're the head of the State Employees Union. What is something you don't think the public understands about the work that your members do?
Oh, my goodness. Anything? Anything. I think about state employees, what they do is they are the invisible human infrastructure that keeps the state running. And the reason nobody thinks about them or knows what they do is because when the state is running properly, it's because of those employees. So the only time we pay attention to public employees is when something goes wrong. But we never think about the millions of things today that are going right that are here because of public employees. We think about the one pothole we hit, but we don't think about the fact that I-25 is in excellent condition from, you know, here to Denver. We don't think about that the water that we're drinking is tested by people at the state health department to make sure that it is not full of lead. We don't think about We don't think about the people that work at unemployment day in, day out, helping all sorts of people in Colorado get jobs. We don't think about the people who are currently sitting in the prisons making sure that our offenders are getting as much as they can out of their time in prison. We don't think about the state hospital up the street. Like last night, the security guy here last night, he works at the state hospital. He's been with the state for 20 some years. He works a second job to make ends meet as security at this hotel. That sucks. I mean, this is a guy who is providing mental health services to our most chronically mental ill in the state, and he has to work a second job because we don't think about what state employees do.
Yeah, I appreciate that answer. Following up a little bit, Fox 21 in Southern Colorado recently reported about a rally outside the Department of Corrections in Colorado Springs calling for safe staffing in the Department of Corrections. What are your members' concerns around staffing?
So the state is 20% understaffed. One in five jobs is vacant. they cannot hold on to anybody. Our problem with public service is that people would go into public service in the past and they knew that even though they were going to get paid less, they were going to have a secure retirement, they would have good health care, they just wouldn't make as much as private sector. But as health care and the pension has been eroding, there's nothing to recruit people to come to the state. And in the 90s, they eliminated step pay. So state employees' raises on a yearly basis are a complete crapshoot. It's up to the legislature. And of course, we fight really hard on all of that raise stuff. And now that we have a contract, we've got a guaranteed 3% for the next 3 years. But in our economic reopener this year, we're going to fight for steps. And it's going to be really hard.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you have a contract now. As we record this, June 4th, it's nearly exactly 2 years from the anniversary of the passing of the collective bargaining for state employees bill. So it passed final reading on June 2nd, 2020, and then was signed about a week later. Just following up on that, what did that passage of collective bargaining mean for state employees, and what's been the effect in your organizing?
Oh, that's a great question. So passing collective, let's talk about this story. So we had been an organization, the state has never had a fully recognized union. So there were several different unions in different pockets of the state. In 2006, SEIU, AFT, and AFSCME came together to make Colorado Wins. And it was very, it was a experiment. It was very experimental. We didn't divide the job classifications, wherein AFSCME usually takes corrections, SEIU has the white collar in the public division. Everybody is everybody. So then we worked really hard to get Ritter elected. I know, we didn't know. I'm telling you guys, these politicians, they lie to us, just so you know. I don't know if you knew that. But he did pass an executive order that allowed a process for state employees to select a union that was their exclusive representative. And so that was 2007. And the state was supposed to work with us in partnership, but there was nothing binding on them. So we went for years and years just trying to eke it out with the state. And then in 2016, we laid off 60% of our staff. Our third executive director left WINS, and I took over. And basically, we were broke. We had nothing left. We were like, shoot the dogs, load the wagons, we're done here. But what we decided was, we had nothing, so we had nothing to lose. And so we decided, let's go hard. Let's get collective bargaining. Let's fight for this shit. So we sunk all of our money into candidates we thought were going to really fight for us. Not just good candidates who were going to vote yes, but like candidates who were going to fight. And we went out and, you know, we talked with our fellow unions. I mean, I'm sure there are a number of people here that either were at the testimony at legislature or who actually directly testified. Did any of you go up there for that? Who was there?
Let's hear a round of applause or for folks who did. Just thinking about the audio. First time trying this live.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, raising hands. There's a million people raising their hands right now. And I think the two things, passing it was huge because now we have a law and it is binding on the state. And the contract we negotiated is also binding on the state. They are learning that they have to abide by it, which is hard. But I think the second thing that was so big for WINS was understanding solidarity amongst all of us. And how when we show up for each other, we can move things and we can win. And I don't believe that there is a single other answer for the working class than unions. There's no one coming to save us. We are it. And so if we pull together and get behind something, we know we can win. And I think that was huge. The effect it's had on organizing is we doubled our membership within the last 2 years. Which now I don't know how to... It's really hard because we lived on a shoestring budget for so long. I'm like, I paid for our convention in 2017 entirely with credit card points that were racked up by the former executive directors. We had no money.
The want to switch gears a little bit. Gallup polling has been asking a simple question for 85 years. Do you approve or disapprove of labor unions? The most recent poll, 68% of respondents approve of unions. That's the highest in at least a generation. Yeah! Only. Why do you think that is?
I think maybe we go through some period of sleeping, right? So growing up in Pueblo, if you talk to people that were working at the mill in the 70s, they'll tell you that every house had two cars, one income earner, and a boat, right? And so all of us grew up with that. That was normal to us. So we didn't know why we had it. And when the cabal that's against unions, when they started to take foothold, you know, with... Well, they've been around forever, but like I just feel like Reagan really tanked us. But we didn't know why that was. Now in Pueblo, what I think our awakening was the 7-year steel strike. And we were, at the time I was in high school, and it was crazy. I mean, we had, because the mill was such a huge employer, and then all of our guys were on strike. And there were kids whose parents went into work as scabs. And I didn't go to a dance with a guy because his dad was scabbing at the mill. I was like, nah. But it was really sad because he was like, but we're broke and we don't have any money and this is an opportunity for my dad and he's making more money than we've ever made. And that's one of our biggest problems in Pueblo is that we're poor. So that was rough. But I think as we come, as they have taken this away from us, COVID reminded us like, my favorite thing is what I think Liz Shuler said, which was like, for decades, they've told us we're lucky to have a job. And now for the next, you know, for the next forever, they need to know that they're lucky to have us as workers.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to plug that the El Pueblo Museum's been doing great work trying to capture the history of that strike that Hillary mentioned and helped a little bit doing some oral history collection. I was struck by both how each story was unique and different, how folks held together in solidarity, helping feed people that were struggling during the strike, and then also just the folks that I interviewed, generally speaking, had an injury from the mill, just a part of what happened working there in the fight for safety that's been a continual story out there. You recently did a panel with History Colorado on Bold Women Make History, including our president, Josette Jaramillo, up on stage here with us. What was that like?
That was really fun, actually. So it was me, it was Hosa, it was Amy Baca from CEA, it was Kim Cordova from UFCW, and they sort of prepped us. They sort of gave us, sort of told us what we were going to answer, but we gel really well. And we talked a lot about the rise of women in the labor movement in Colorado over the last, you know, several years. And I think for people who don't know, I mean, this is intentional. You know, I used to sit at AFL meetings and I would text Dennis and be like, there's 42 people here, there are two people of color and there are two women. And, you know, it's just, it's so critical that we are the absolute most important thing for people. I was thinking about this earlier. The environmentalists, they care about the environment, not people. And then you think about the different segments of, you know, NRA cares about guns, you know, pro-choice cares about abortion access. But the union is about people. And we're the only thing that's about people. We're it. So if we don't bring all the people in, then we fail. So it's like so critical to to be intentional about this. And so being able to sit on that panel with those other women and talk about it, and then to be, we were so well received. In fact, they let me know after the History Colorado let me know after that we were the favorite panel there was. And there was all sorts of women presenting on all sorts of important things, things I don't know about, like, let's talk about self-care, like that. But I mean, people just absolutely loved us. They wanted to take pictures with us. They were like, I love your vibe, oh my gosh. And I'm like, weird. But yeah, it was awesome. And if that makes people understand and connect to why we have unions, because I think sometimes people think that unions are just for blue-collar workers, and they're not. They're for all of us. This is our last shot at humanity, people. Like, this is what we got.
Yeah, and I would also like to commend Hillary for being the first time I'm going to have to figure out how to beep on this radio show.
Sorry.
All right, so we touched on this a little bit in the history, but over a decade ago, the Denver Post ran a front page editorial, nearly unprecedented, directly against state employees organizing. It had name-calling, referring to Governor Ritter as Jimmy Hoffa, a bagman for unions, which is particularly striking when we know some of the really difficult times we had trying to work with him after this. They also made some wild predictions about new costs that didn't materialize. With approval of unions among the general public 20% higher than when that was written published. What's different now than when that was written in 2009?
I wish Jimmy Hoffa had been our governor. We get... I'm voting for Jimmy Hoffa. Once they find him... Listen, all I'm saying is that we have long elected Democrats who have not expanded union rights. Yet they claim to support workers. They claim to support unions. But when push comes to shove, they side with business. And we already have a party for that. Okay? So, like, we have to have checks and balances. And we have one party to look out for business, and we have one party to look out for people. So, like, pick a side, be on that side. You know, if you want to support corporations, that's fine. There's a party for that. You can switch parties. It's allowed. But I think what's changed since then is, like, of course, union sentiment. COVID really woke people up. But also, I don't know. I think about this a lot because it's been... You know, for whatever struggles we've had with Governor Polis, he's like the first governor in decades to expand organizing rights. You know, and he's not someone I wouldn't say, hey, that guy understands the working class. You know, so for him to I just find it really interesting. But I don't know. I think with the approval ratings of unions going up, which is, this is all grassroots, pushing to the top, that's changing our policy making. And that's what we need, because we do need those policies to protect workers.
Yeah, thank you for that answer. So as we start to wrap up, I want to give you a kind of a broader question, and feel free to bring other things into this, but why is it important for state employees to have a union?
For the same reason it's important for everyone to have a union. Whether you're at work and you like your job and you think everything is great, nothing will ensure it stays that way unless you have a union. If you're at work and everything is falling apart, there is literally no way for real employees to address that unless they have a union. I think also it's so critical for workers to be connected to each other outside of the job, because again, like, we're the people we've been waiting for. And so for state employees to have a job doesn't just matter to state employees, and it doesn't just matter to the labor movement. it matters to all of the citizens of Colorado, because when those systems in our government fall apart, it's not like we think about the government as legislators. No, we have some government sitting right there. And when their systems fall apart and they can't do their jobs, that affects everyone in Colorado. If the water doesn't get tested, we're going to drink a bunch of crap. Is that beepable? I don't know if that's a beep word.
It's fine. It's a complaint-based system. I think the FEC will be fine.
if we don't have people, the first day of convention, I got a text from our guy in Buena Vista, and he's like, "Hey, I just want to let you know we had a riot. There were 70 guys involved today. None of the officers are hurt." But when these things happen, when these systems fall apart because you're not staffed, first of all, you have a problem within your community of what's your tax base if you don't have, if your entire town, like Canyon City, think about Canyon City, it's all prisons, right? Their entire tax base is based on those prisons. So if all of those people who are working in those prisons, if it's fully staffed, their tax base is better, which it's like a self-propagating sort of system. But when that's falling apart, when there aren't people in working in those prisons because they're unsafe and then people get hurt, then you not only have members of your community hurt, but now you've created an unsafe situation for the incarcerated people, for the officers, and for your community. Because it's not just the gates that are keeping people inside prisons. But when, like, thinking about CDOT, if you don't have people fixing the roads, that affects everyone. So if the employees don't have a system to fix what's happening in the state, it'll fall apart. Absolutely will fall apart.
All right. Thank you so much for that answer. And I want to thank the Colorado AFL-CIO for allowing to host us today at KGNU's Labor Exchange. Let's give a round of applause. And can we keep that applause going for our guest, Hillary Glasgow? Thank you so much for being here. This has been a special live taping of the KGNU Labor Exchange at the 35th Biennial Colorado AFL-CIO COPE Convention. This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. We are a member of the Labor Radio Network. Check out other great labor conversations on laborradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, and we've been talking with Hillary Glasgow, Executive Director of Colorado WINS, the State Employees Union, and President of the Southern Colorado Labor Council. Have a great day. Hello, KGNU listeners. This has been a special live taping of the Labor Exchange. We want to thank Julie Hansen, IATSE 62, and AFSCME 1335 member that recorded the show, and IATSE 62 member David Cesario for technical support. We hope you enjoyed the conversation.
There once was a union made who never was afraid of the goons and ginks and the company finks and the deputy sheriffs who made the raid. She went to the union hall when a meeting it was called, and when the company boys came round, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. This union maid was wise to the tricks of company spies. She couldn't be fooled by company stools. She'd always organize the guys, always get her way. When she fought for higher pay, she'd show her card to the National Guard, and this is what she'd say. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union, I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. You women who want to be free, just take a tip from me. Break out of that mold, you've all been sold. You've got a fighting history. We'll work for equal pay, and we will have our say. Like Mother Jones, just roll them bones and fight the union way. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Chain from hand to hand. Keep your eyes on the prize.